This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new way to lead off your Sunday with conversation, unique perspectives, and your thoughts and questions on the Hometown Nine. It's Twins Today.
And a swing and a miss and a changeup. That was masterful pitching from Jose Barrios.
I know they know I got a great curveball, so they're looking for. That's when I want that breaking ball.
Twins Today is driven by the Mauer Auto Group. More than cars.
It's hard to believe that was 15 years ago.
Right?
Time flies, but you know what? I'm in a new role and I'm enjoying it.
Thanks, Derek. Which thought am I? Did I make the top five?
Now, live from Target Field, here is Derek Wetmore.
Hello, good morning. Good to be with you, Twins fans. You're listening to Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group, More Than Cars. I am your host, Derek Wetmore. I am at Target Field, where it is sunny and looking beautiful, like a great day for a ball game. Twins and Astros set to do battle in the finale here a little later. But first, we've got a great show. We've got a lot of fun guests to get to, and this program will take you at 10 all the way up to noon, and then you got Inside Twins with Wes Johnson and Corey Provis, followed by the Edina Realty pregame lineup card and first pitch Twins and Astros coming up after that. On today's show, Twins Today, we are going to hear from some legends in the game. My guests today combined for 10 batting titles, 25 All-Star appearances, and a World Series ring. We'll be hearing later on from the great Rod Carew. We close the show listening in on a conversation with Joe Mauer, Twins legend. Tim Laudner joins us a little bit later on, coming up around 10:30, if you want to stay tuned for that. And Dan Hayes, who covers the Minnesota Twins, he covers it all for The Athletic, and he was over in St. Paul this week covering a bunch of interesting short-term Saints players, shall we say. We'll get the updates from Dan Hayes on what's the latest with Byron Buxton, Luis Arraez, Kenta Maeda, and plenty more from Dan. We're going to start today's show with Five Thoughts. Five Thoughts, the newsletter I write every week. You can find that. Go to my Facebook page, Derek Wetmore MLB, or you can follow me on Twitter at Derek Wetmore. Thought number one, which is kind of just pointing out a difference that I remember from 2019 and this 2021 Twins team.
Number one.
We're up, then we go down, then we're back tied. Every time that happens, it affects the guys that we use and how we use them. So effectively, sometimes you do run short on pitching in a given game because of that. We probably had, if we went to Hansel in that inning in the ninth, we probably had about 10 innings of coverage in the game. And we can't put ourselves in a spot where we look up in the 11th inning and we go, you know, hey, we're not really sure who we're going to pitch. We can never allow that to happen. It's one of those games that feels uncomfortable because, you know, you constantly have to shift your mindset as you go from up to, you know, down a run to tied. And as things change, sometimes you end up burning pitchers. It's natural. It happens because not many games actually play out in that manner and in a tight ball game like that.
Yeah, that's the voice of Rocco Baldelli talking about a loss earlier this week. Just kind of unfortunate circumstances, honestly. Billy Ober put in a good start, and Matt Shoemaker had been scheduled to make that start. He was moved to the bullpen, partly to cover some innings, but also partly because he's just been struggling in the starting rotation. The Twins go to him later in the game. He pitches a scoreless eighth inning, but then, as Rocco alluded to there, they're just so short on coverage that they decided to ask for another inning out of Shoemaker. He gives up a couple runs. Twins lose the game. It's a circular problem, of course. When you get short starts from your starting pitchers, your bullpen naturally has to cover more innings. Just think about this week. Barrios went seven yesterday, which was a great gift for the Twins. Before that, Bailey Ober, five innings. Jay Happ, five innings. Randy Dobnik, 4 2/3. He had kind of the fingernail issue. Mike Pineda, 4 1/3. That's all coming off an off day against the Yankees and Astros, two good offensive clubs. And when you're asking your bullpen to go 4 2/3, 4 1/3, cover four innings night after night after night, you understand why they use up a bunch of arms. I mean, I understand Rocco's reasoning there. I'm not sure I fully agree with it, that you can't empty the bullpen, so to speak, in an attempt to try to win a game that's very close and late. But it is worth pointing out that when they just had a bunch of great relievers in 2019, they got the job done no matter what and, you know, won all those games, that magical Twins season, we weren't really talking about coverage issues. So that's been an issue with the Twins going forward, and getting Kenta Maeda back, which we'll talk about a little later on the show, should help that a good deal. Also want to talk about a big star from the week. Josh Donaldson had his sort of signature Twins moment. We've been waiting for it. And he talked certainly a lot going into that Yankee series, but he definitely delivered in the final game.
Number two.
And the 1-0 pitch, a swing and a fly ball. Left center field and deep. Back it goes. Deep it goes. Tie game! It took over 60 games, but Donaldson has his big Twins moment. A game-tying two-run blast at the second deck and left off Chapman. 5-5 at Target Field.
What a blast. What a moment. Josh Donaldson came into the series talking about Gerrit Cole and spin rate and sticky substances, and he was sort of putting himself at center stage of baseball's biggest storyline, controversy. I don't even know what the proper term would be, but Donaldson, one of the few established major leaguers willing to talk about it and throw some names on it, didn't go so well for him at the plate leading up to that moment. He played pretty well in the field that series. You have to give him that. Into his mid-30s, Donaldson still has the plus defensive skills, and he comes up with a huge home run against Aroldis Chapman to tie the game in the ninth inning, thereby proving the Yankees closer is in fact human. Another base hit and a Nelson Cruz home run later, and the Twins were dancing at Target Field. So fun to add a fun moment to the ledger for Josh Donaldson in his Twins career. Before that, I think you'd say his signature moment was when he got ejected from the game for showing up the umpire last September, when he kicked dirt all over the plate after he didn't like a called strike. So he went and hit a home run on the next pitch, and then he had some words to say for home plate umpire Dan Bellino. But this one, a much more fond memory to look back on. Fondly looking ahead to when some Twins players are going to rejoin the fold here. Let's get a quick Saints update.
Number three.
My guess is this is Maeda's last batter.
The 2-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. And if it is, he's going to end it on a big-time K. Kenta Maeda.
And he smokes one. Left center field towards the deepest part of the ballpark. This one's going to be gone. A two-run home run for Byron Buxton. His second of the game.
Our friends Sean Aronson and Andy Helwig on the call there with the St. Paul Saints. Yes, those are St. Paul Saints players this week, Byron Buxton, Kenta Maeda. There's good encouraging signs pointing towards, not Target Field, pointing towards the West Coast, actually, where the Twins are headed to play the Seattle Mariners. The latest as of this morning, what we know to start the show on Twins Today here, is Kenta Maeda is scheduled to start Monday in Seattle for the Twins. So you can expect him to be activated before tomorrow's game. Luis Arraez spoke with the media yesterday and heard him say that he'll be back very soon. He's very close. He said he's rehabbing that shoulder. He's playing for St. Paul. So expect him to be right around the corner, too. That's his own sort of prognosis. Take that for what it's worth. Byron Buxton expected to play and then be evaluated. I wouldn't be shocked if the Twins are looking for an opportunity to activate Byron Buxton as well. In fact, GM Dan Gladden, if you heard yesterday's radio broadcast of the game, he's already activated all three of them. He's got them all three on the flight, headed west out to Seattle for the Twins-Mariners series, so we'll see how that all plays out. Jorge Polanco had a great game yesterday. I want to talk about him for a second.
Number four.
Swung on, hit high near right center field. McCormick back again. He'll play this one off the ribbon board for a two-run homer. and the Twins now lead 4-0.
Yep, it was a Jorge Polanco show yesterday. You can't play it off the ribbon board. Ballpark ground rules established that as a home run. So Polo hitting a big one yesterday, 3-for-4, big night for him. And I wanted to point out that it's been a disappointing season for the Twins. You, listener, won't be surprised to hear that, given the expectations and how it's gone for them so far. But did you know they're the first in home runs? The Twins have more home runs than any major league club with 93. Oddly, they're 11th in runs scored, 296 runs scored. Again, 93 home runs leads the majors. Houston, their opponent today for the rubber match of the series, leads the world in runs at 344. Go figure. Been some shuffling in the starting rotation. Let's talk about that before we get out of five thoughts.
Number five.
And the pitch is swinging a blast into left field in deep trouble. Larnick at the wall. He will look, and that's a three-run homer. And the Royals lead 9-0.
Well, I mentioned Matt Shoemaker. That was his the forgettable 9-run inning against the Royals. It's been a forgettable year for him so far. Certainly not to expectations for himself, and definitely not the expectation the Twins had coming into the year either. If you missed the news this week, Shoemaker was moved to the bullpen, and there was this weird scenario, which I touched on earlier, that he still ends up pitching two innings in a game. One of them good, one of them not so good. The Twins lose that ball game, and that's the state of the rotation right now. Bailey Ober took over, and he remains in the Twins rotation, according to Rocco Baldelli. So Shoemaker out, Ober in. Randy Dobnak was available in the bullpen yesterday because they just were going to need some coverage. Imagine if Jose Berríos had had a short start. The Twins weren't necessarily covered with 10 innings or anything like that out of their bullpen, so they were hoping that Berríos went deep. He took the challenge and did, but Dobnak was available out of the bullpen, and Kenta Maeda set to return Monday. So there are some shifting spots in the Twins rotation, and I've said it before on the show and I'll continue to say it, the Twins are going to go on a run. They really need a good run of starting pitching. The strong outings back to back to back to back would just be everything that the Twins could ask for right now. Certainly they'll need every bit of it to climb out of the hole that they've dug for themselves. That'll do it for five thoughts. That is the leadoff to this leadoff show. This is Twins Today. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore. Don't forget, coming up at noon, we've got Inside Twins, then the Edina Realty pregame lineup card. It's all ahead of Twins and Astros. Rod Carew joins the show later. Tim Laudner, Joe Maurer is our anchor leg. So tons of fun stuff coming up here on Twins Today. When we come back, we're going to hear a little radio revisit, a conversation with Taylor Rogers, taped earlier this week, that you're not going to want to miss, and some great guests coming up this morning on Twins Today. Like I said, I'm your host, Derek Wetmore. We'll have more baseball coming up after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back. Twins Today is the program. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, sitting here at sunny Target Field as they begin the prep work to get that field ready for Twins and Astros, the final game of a three-game set later today. On today's show, we've got a ton of fun guests. We're going to hear from Rod Carew, Joe Maurer, Dan Hayes, who covers the Twins for The Athletic, joins us a little later, and just a really fun show. Just makes me smile thinking about the next couple of hours here. And then, as I mentioned, we are going right into Inside Twins at noon, then the Edina Realty pregame lineup card, all coming up before first pitch of the Twins and Astros. So you got your morning planned. Right now, we've got the radio revisit portion of the show. The one we wanted to pull from the archives this week was a recent conversation with Taylor Rogers.
It's a mound visit that comes on the heels of a pretty fun night, Taylor. You had the view of it from the bullpen. It happened so fast. Three pitches from Aroldis Chapman that never reached the catcher's glove just doesn't happen very often at all. Walk us through what was going on in the bullpen while that inning was unspooling.
Man, tell you what, you know, it's one of those things when you see Chapman warming up, you're like, man, this is going to be a tough one for us. You know, trying to score two, maybe three, doesn't happen too often off him. And he's obviously a big presence down there, so we knew it was going to be difficult. And then all of a sudden, Polanco base hit, Donaldson hits one over our heads. We're like, man, we got a shot here. And then, of course, Austadio's in the middle of it. He really works the count, but he ended up swinging first pitch there. And, you know, Nelly's ball, great view for that too. Awesome to be out there for that. And like Griffin Jack said, it's one of the coolest baseball moments he'd seen, and I would agree.
Let's talk about Griffin Jacks. He was asked to do something the other day that he'd never been asked to do. He had only relieved, I want to say, four times ever, and most of that was in rookie ball in the GCL where everybody's kind of a reliever for a while. And he gets asked to go back-to-back his first two major league outings when the team really needs him, and then he sucks up 3 1/3 innings. Did you guys have any advice for him out there? How did that unfold? Because that's a hard thing for anybody to do, much less a guy who just showed up in the big leagues.
Right. You know, he had asked me about the bullpen, being a starter and going to the bullpen, you know, since that's something that I did in the major leagues. And all I told him was, I said, you're more prepared than you think you are. You're only nervous about the unknown right now. So once you get out there, you know, you'll just kick right into what you do and what you know best, and it's going to be no problem. And he showed that. And he's a grinder. He's a team guy. And with what he did on that second day, that proves that.
Yeah, he's part of this little Colorado pool that you guys have now between Griffin and yourself, Bailey Ober now, who will start tonight. Mitch Garver liked it so much he's moved to Denver to be a part of the fun. How did you get hooked up with Ober and with Jackson in the offseason?
Yeah, so place that I seeked out through our strength coach, Ian, in Colorado. I was looking for a place to work out at, and he directed me to this place. I went to this place, and there's these two guys there, and they're like, hey, you know, we're with the Twins, you know, organization. I was like, what? But yeah, ended up being Griffin Jacks and Bailey Ober. Great guys, extremely hard workers, Chris. I know that's cliche to say, but these guys make me feel bad when I'm in there every day, because I don't feel like I'm not doing enough compared to these two. But it's
Bailey's,
awesome.
And Bailey's a Sequoia. He's giant. So obviously he gives you a little different look on the mound. You and I were talking about an upcoming event here at Target Field as well. Joe Mauer's having his home run derby. A lot of the old guys are coming back. And we were joking about the Grey Duck Vodka Joe Mauer charitable thing where the money goes to Gillette. And you told me you wouldn't be surprised if Joe was All-American in Duck Duck Grey Duck as well. Everyone's got their Joe Mauer stories about how he happens to be amazing at juggling beer bottles or chainsaws or playing cribbage or any other activity. Do you have one you can share?
Ooh, man, I got a couple golf ones that are easy. His albatross in spring training. You know, one of the things that I like to do was pick over to first base. Like, even if nobody there is running, like Victor Martinez is on first base, I would just pick over because Joe would throw you a perfectly spun four seam at your chest every time. And he just give you a little giggle because it's like, man, that's so cool. He's perfect.
So you would pick over just so you could play catch with Joe Mauer during a game?
Absolutely. Just so I could see it. Like, he's going to hit me in the chest with a four seamer. And he did it every time.
Let's talk about this week in Williams Astudillo. Obviously, he was a big part of yesterday's rally. He hasn't been on the field as much. Does that mean it's been quieter in the clubhouse?
No, it's more loud in the clubhouse. We need to get him on the field. So he's talking crap to everybody in the clubhouse when he has nothing to do. You know what? Sneaky good clubhouse guy, supporter of the club when he's not playing. And as you can tell, he's always ready to come in just like he was last night.
Yeah, awesome pinch hit situation there from Astudillo. Let's do a special Colorado-themed power rankings this week because we talked about Jacks. We talked about Ober, yourself, obviously, from your home state and very proud of it. You shocked me when you told me there are currently 11 big leaguers from Colorado, which is an astounding number, and only two of them are from your family. But what about the all-time baseball heroes from Colorado? Like, who are the legends, the top power-ranking legends of Colorado baseball that you grow up idolizing?
Yeah, you know, Colorado baseball doesn't have a whole lot going for it. So we don't have any Joe Mauers. But we got a couple, Goose Gossage is kind of probably the oldest and first one that you know about. Obviously, Roy Halladay, like I always liked watching him. He's from more closer to my area too. So that was kind of a cool connection to have. And then probably third on the list, a sneaky one, is Brad Lidge. And then he actually went to the same high school as Griffin Jacks did. Nice little baseball program there.
Nice little program indeed. That was the voice of Taylor Rogers with Chris Atterbury on this week's mound visit. And I got a chuckle out of hearing that he used to throw over to first base when Mauer was playing there just so he could get that perfect strike four-seamer back. Even big leaguer sometimes amazed by the talent there. I'm amazed by the talent on this show today. We are going to hear from Joe Mauer to talk about the home run competition that's coming up this week at Target Field. Very excited for that. And also very excited to be joined by my next guest. He is a current Bally Sports North analyst, World Series winner, Tim Laudner joins me after this. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Twins Today on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Here's the set and wins pitch. Swing, high fly ball. There it goes. Way back to left field. A home run for Tim Laudner, number 16. And the Twins win it 2-1.
Well, that's pretty good. That's famous home run call of my next guest. He is none other than the Pride of Park Center, Tim Laudner. Tim, thanks for making some time for Twins Today.
Thank you. Wow, you guys dug really, really deep for that tape.
I don't know about that. Right, I heard there were a couple of them. They were just trying to choose.
Holy moly. Yeah, maybe no more than two, I don't think.
Well, Tim Laudner's our guest, kind enough to join us, current Bally Sports North analyst, of course, MLB All-Star, former Twin, and World Series winner. I understand that team, Tim, has the most walk-off wins in baseball history, and you're responsible for a couple of them.
Is that right? That's a stat that I didn't know. I'm not a huge stat guy. The only stats that matter to some of us, especially those of us that got to participate back in the day, and I even hate to refer to back in the day because I just don't think our current audiences, really care about back in the day. But that's just my opinion. I'd rather talk about these guys on the field right now, but that's an interesting stat and one that obviously I didn't know about.
I'm kind of surprised. I feel like guys kind of know their own. They carry with them. You remember that you have to have a hearing that call that takes you back kind of to that. Does that still happen even 2021?
Well, I remember that. And, I know that my partner, my host, Annie Sabo had asked me one time on the show when we had witnessed Trevor Larnach's first home run, I think it was out in Anaheim. And
sure.
She said, that's obviously going to be a memory that he's going to have for a long, long time. And she says, do you remember your first home run? I said, well, yeah, but not without hypnosis. And so, but yeah, I remember some of that. I have a good memory. I remember some of that stuff, and that's a good thing. But, like I said, we try to focus on these guys right here because they're the – they're the here and they're the now, and they're the ones that are the caretakers of our sport. So we'll focus on these guys.
Absolutely. And, a lot of fun things to talk about. We could go back and forth all the time. Yeah, All-Star game, stuff like that.
Sure,
absolutely. In fact, I'm going to ask you one more before we come into present day, Tim. I boasted earlier, I boasted before the show that my guests today – later in the show, we're talking with Rodney Carew and Joe Mauer for his home run hitting contest coming up. And
you
so I boasted
a couple of good left-handers there.
I said 25 All-Star appearances between all my guests and 10 batting titles.
Exactly.
So thank you for contributing to that. that All-Star game that you went to, was there a moment that you looked around and said, wow, do you have a story that you can share with us that you really felt like, wow, yeah, I made it and I'm here in the big league All-Star game?
I was very, very fortunate to be selected by my manager, Tom Kelly, to participate in that All-Star game. I got to share, I lockered right next to New Orleans Terry Steinbach, who is obviously a good friend. I see him I'd like to see him more than occasionally. My schedule doesn't allow me. I know he's probably out at his cabin and relaxing, but we do the snowmobile ride for ALS in the wintertime, and I always get to see Terry, and we always get to have some laughs and talking about the stories here and there and whatnot. But I do remember. They brought dogs in. They swept the home clubhouse.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Because they were going to bring in the vice president at the time, who was 41, George Bush. And so after infield, I knew I wasn't going to play, so I had stripped down, got all my wet clothes off. It was a really, really hot day in Cincinnati. And by the time I got stripped down to my skivvies, Dr. Bobby Brown, the president of the American League, was standing right in front of me with 41, the vice president of the United States. And Dr. Bobby Brown says, Mr. Vice President, this is Tim Laudner. He's our representative from the Minnesota Twins. He's a catcher. And I had a towel stuck in my right armpit, but I stuck my right arm out and shook his hand and said, "Pleased to meet you, Mr. Vice President." And he looked at me. He looked me right in the eye, by the way. He's a tall man. And he says, "I caught you toweling off your pits, didn't I?" And I said, "Yes, sir, you sure did." And I have a picture of that. I swear to God, I have a picture of it. And what a memory, huh, to be able to meet the future president of the United States, the vice president at the time.
I mean.
And to have him say, "I caught you toweling off your pits." I said, "Well, yeah, you did."
I mean, I'm in stitches here. It sounds like a story you made up.
I did not make that up. That's as true can be. You can't make up something like that. I'm not that creative. Yeah. However, I remember being in infield practice, and Dave Winfield was playing right field. And that's back when we took infield as well. And I think Georgie Brett was at first base during infield practice. And Dave Winfield was throwing strikes from right field to home plate.
Sure he was.
And I didn't say cut it off. I just said slow it down a little bit.
Because you didn't want to break a thumb.
He had a good arm.
Right field.
David had a good arm.
Oh,
so.
Man. That is really a fascinating story. Thank you for sharing it with our listeners.
I got a pile of them. So
for Twins fans. Our guest is Tim Laudner, World Series winner, obviously MLB All-Star and current Valley Sports North analyst. You can catch him pre-post there on the TV side of things. And, Tim, you talked about wanting to talk about the here and now, the players today.
Yep.
And I got to say, I thought about you this week. I don't think about you every week, but I thought about you this week.
Okay.
So they got Ben Rortvedt and Ryan Jeffers doing the bulk of the catching here for the Twins right now while Mitch Garver's down. Williams Astudillo kind of plays around, but he can catch a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see these guys get into this low stance now.
Oh, boy.
Where they try to go get that low strike. You maybe see where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
sitting there with their big catcher's mitt below the strike zone, and, I mean, their whole body is hunched over, Tim. I mean, the flexibility of some of these guys is astounding to me. What do you think when you see that sort of presentation style from a big league catcher trying to get those strikes at the borderline?
Boy, Derek, how do I dance around this? Well, let me just say, okay. Let me just start off by saying I don't like it, and I don't like it at all.
Okay.
Now, let me explain.
Yeah, sure.
I don't mind catchers being down on one knee and presenting a lower target for their pitcher. What I do mind is when you have runners on base and you're in that position, because what it does is that it restricts you from moving laterally, and baseball is played laterally. And if you're on one leg, you can't move laterally. You can't move side to side. Now, as a catcher, I teach, and I expect my catchers to do a couple of things. First and foremost, square yourself up to the pitcher. Be square to the pitcher. Give your pitcher a good target, because, you know, you can talk to 100 pitchers, and 100 of them will say, "I want to see the glove." Well, they're not looking at the glove. I can tell you right now, pitchers don't look at the glove.
Okay.
They'll pick other spots. Some of them pitch off the hitter. Some of them pitch off the shoulder. Some of them pitch off of a catcher's knee on his shin guard.
Okay.
But very few of them look at the glove.
Sure.
And then the first move they make when they start in their windup is they take their eyes off of their whatever their target is. You could start doing flashcards there, and they'd never notice it because they're looking down.
Never going to learn
and
their
multiplication
tables.
And you can watch them
tables.
On a regular basis. And so being square to your pitcher is first and foremost. And yet when you see guys get on base, there are catchers that will turn and catch the second baseman. Well, he's not pitching.
Sure.
So stay square to your pitcher and understand that that pitcher is the most important guy on the field, and you have to treat him as the most important guy on the field. Now, with regards to being on one knee for the entire of the game, I don't buy it. I don't like it. Again, we talk about the fact that you can't move laterally, and there are too many balls that are getting by catchers in crucial situations.
Yeah. We've seen it this week.
Earlier in the year, we
mm-hmm.
saw
yep.
It was not just the Twins. It was a game with the Chicago White Sox and Kansas City Royals in the south side of Chicago. And a ball in the ninth inning got past Cam Gallagher, who was catching on Sunday, not Salvador Perez. Got by him. Jose Abreu scored the winning run.
Yep.
Well, that's a situation that just can't happen.
Right.
And in the very same day, Mitch Garver had a ball go underneath him when your previous guest, Taylor Rogers, was on the mound.
Yeah.
And Ramon Laureano scored for the Oakland A's. and the Twins lost the game by one. Those are situations that can't happen. I can't tell you how many times I was behind the plate with a guy on third base, and I'd look over, and TK would be, hey, block the ball, block the ball. I'm like, I know, I know. I know that's my job. And you got to sell out. You got to do whatever you can to keep that ball in front of you. And if you can't do it with just 1 foot on the ground because you cannot move laterally. And I even said on the air after that on our pregame show, you know, if it was such a great idea to play on one leg, why don't the other eight guys do it? And when I teach catching, I teach my catchers that if you can play shortstop and move your feet properly and throw the ball properly, you can catch.
Good foundation.
If you can play outfield, you can catch. And if you can catch, you can play all the other positions as well, because the throwing and the foot movement are relatively the same throughout the entire field of play. And so, and Joe Mauer is a great, great example of that.
Yeah.
Joe Mauer can play any position. Joe Mauer's athletic. Joe Mauer sat square to this pitcher. Joe Mauer very rarely, never caught on one leg with guys on base.
You hardly saw it at all.
If it was the right thing to do, Joe Mauer would have been doing it. It's not the right thing to do, and it's going to cost you a game. And that real estate between first and second and third and home is unbelievably valuable real estate. And I'll go so far as to say, if you block one ball during the course of a 162-game season and keep one runner from moving from one base to the next, you might find yourself in a game 163 in which the Twins were part of, I think, was 2 years in a row.
Back-to-back.
Right?
Wow. I mean –
okay, now I got to take my angina pills, Derek, because now I'm all fired up and my blood's pumping.
I got you hot. You did a great job of dancing around it, Tim. I don't think you're going to get in trouble for that one.
Well, that's just my opinion, and if I was to teach a high school kid, a college kid, right now, I would try to teach him the proper way to do that. And you go all the way back. I remember sitting in a restaurant one day, and I looked up onto the monitor, and there was a video of the 1969 World Series game between the Mets and the Orioles. And Jerry Grody was the catcher for the New York Mets. And Elrod Hendricks, a guy that I got to know really well during my career, was catching for the Baltimore Orioles. Andy Etchebarren also caught for the Baltimore Orioles. Both of them had the old round glove.
Sure.
And I was mesmerized, unbelievably mesmerized. Now, Elrod Hendricks would catch on one leg. This is back in 1969.
Yeah, okay.
He would catch on one leg, but he wouldn't do it with guys on base. And you can go back and take a look at the video, too.
Wow.
And so there are parts of it that maybe – now, as far as, you know, what has been explained to me is that you steal seven strikes a game by sitting down there. I don't buy that for a minute because – you know, I'm not of the opinion that the umpires are that good.
It depends on who's
calling balls
and strikes.
I like them. Don't misunderstand me, but you know what? You watch the box and you think, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Depends on the night, but there could be more oh, boys some nights than others,
too. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. Tim, this has been a ton of fun for me. I sure appreciate you taking the time to share some stories and share your wisdom.
That's it.
We're coming up on a break here. We got to get to some first-round draft pick updates.
I got more stories.
Just stick around for the break. I'd like to hear them.
Can I come back next week?
Please. Yeah, we'd like open invitation. We'd love to have you.
Hey, you know what? I'll do whatever you need. I'm happy to be with you.
That's the voice of Tim Laudner, friend of the show, Tim Laudner, World Series winner and MLB All-Star. Catch him on the Bally Sports North broadcast, pre and post on the TV side. We got to get to a break. This is Twins Today. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore. Coming up, we're going to hear an update on the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. A couple of first-round draft choices playing down there. We're going to hear about it all. And Rod Carew and Joe Mauer coming up in the next hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. This is Twins Today on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, welcome back to Twins Today. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, at sunny Target Field in downtown Minneapolis. Fun chatting with Tim Laudner. True to his word, by the way, he did stick around for the break and tell another story, so we'll have to have him back on Twins Today before too much longer. Coming up in hour two of the show, Rod Carew, Joe Mauer, Dan Hayes of The Athletic, just a jam-packed show today. And my next guest I've been looking forward to talking to about some Twins draft picks and future Twins, really, as I like to think of them. He is play-by-play broadcaster for the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. He is John Vittes. Thank you for taking the time, John, to join Twins today.
Thank you, Derek. Appreciate you guys having me.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours, and you are the scout in person. You are the one taking in some of these future Twins, so I really want to pick your brain on, A, how the minor leagues are going this year, and I do, as I promised listeners, I want to get to some Twins highly touted draft choices, but we'll get to that in a second. First, I want to talk about some of the rule changes. You know, at different levels of the minor leagues, Major League Baseball is sort of testing and measuring some things. Tell me, at this level of low A, what is the what's the change for 2021, and how are you liking it?
Yeah, we've got a couple changes at our level. The biggest one by far is the automatic ball strike system. So we have robo umpires, which don't exist anywhere else in pro baseball, at least affiliated pro baseball. So because we're at the spring training parks, they're able to get that infrastructure into the ballparks to test out the equipment. And it's definitely come along. I'm surprised how indifferent a lot of the players are to it. They don't have many strong opinions. Early on, there were definitely some missed calls from those robo umps. First series of the year, when we were on the road in Bradenton, it seemed like the width of the plate was a little too wide. Then we come back home and it seems like the strike zone was a little too low. But as the series have gone along, it's gotten better and better, to the point where it's probably at the point now where it's a little bit more consistent than you would have with a human umpire. It's a narrow strike zone. There's definitely, like I said, been some questionable calls, but overall they're working out the kinks. And as you know, it gets better and better, and they maybe expand it to other leagues too, it's only going to get better. And then we also have the rule about pickoffs. We're only allowed to throw two pickoffs, and on the third pickoff, if you don't get the guy out, it's a balk. So because of that, in order to keep the element of surprise there, guys are really only throwing over one time, because once you throw over the second time, you're done. So we're really not seeing many pickoff attempts at all. And early in the season, guys were running like crazy. There were a lot of stolen bases early on. They've kind of reeled that in a little bit as the catchers have gotten more wise to what's going on. But those changes have definitely affected the games, because we've seen some calls that may not have been made, or some decisions that may not have been made without those new changes.
Well, the pickoff one is fascinating, because you can tell what they're trying to do. They're trying to get speed and athleticism back into the game. But I really want to dig in quickly on this automatic ball strike call, because there's a lot of talk about that might be just a there's a debate about it. Should there be automatic ball strike? But some people talk about it like it's an inevitability in the big leagues that will be there. Tell me, John, you don't get to your position without loving the game of baseball. I mean, you got to grind. You work really hard for what you do. So as a baseball fan, what do you think about seeing the computer call the strike zone?
Well, I can live with it, and I'm kind of in the middle on a lot of these issues, but I'm warming up to it, mostly because there's still a human being behind the catcher putting his arm out and calling the balls and strikes. So if you don't know that there's an ABS system in place, as a fan in the stadium, you would never know that the game is being called by robo umpires, because it's an earpiece in the ear of the actual umpire. And the actual umpire is still making timeout calls, still calling box plays at the plate, helping out the base umpire on calls at, you know, first, second, and third base as well. So the home plate umpire is still fairly active. He's just not doing the main job of calling balls and strikes. So because it still has the aesthetics of a normal baseball game, I'm cool with it, especially if they can continue to fine-tune the technology.
That's fascinating. And you said the players are kind of indifferent. I'm curious, because if I'm a pitcher, I might want this. I think, hey, I'm going to get more strikes. If I'm a hitter, gosh, I might not like it. I'm surprised to hear you say that players are indifferent, but was there any early brushback, or I should say pushback, that, hey, you know, this hasn't been part of the game since we've been coming up?
I would call it skepticism more than pushback early on. But after a couple of weeks, the hitters were the ones that were more indifferent to it. And I think it was because it probably favored them a little bit.
Okay, cool.
If there's one thing that has been a consistency with the new system, it's a pretty narrow strike zone. So you're not getting that outside black and that inside black on the plate as you might with a regular umpire, especially if the catcher is framing the pitch right. So I think the hitters are starting to really like it, because it does kind of shrink that strike zone just a little bit for them. So, yeah, I have been surprised by how not opinionated the players have been about the ABS system, especially as it starts to get better and better.
Fascinating. I mean, it's a testing ground, and so that hearing you say that, has been on the ground with this for more than a month now. I'm starting to think like, yeah, this is baseball taking the temperature and seeing if they can get it into the major leagues. That's fascinating insight, John. John Vittis, our guest, the play-by-play broadcaster for the Fort Myers Mighty Muscle, kind enough to join us for a few minutes on Twins Today here running up to the 11 o'clock hour. Couple of first-round draft choices playing for the Mighty Muscles. And by the way, I should have mentioned for listeners, this is the club formerly known as the Fort Myers Miracle. There was a name change and then a pandemic, and now here we are, Fort Myers Mighty Muscles, playing at Hammond Stadium at the Twins' beautiful spring training complex. A couple of guys who are taking over there. I want to start with Keoni Cavaco, the shortstop. How's it going for him in the early goings of his professional career, John?
He's made some major improvements throughout the pandemic year. Talking to our coaches, I know he came down to the spring training complex around the holidays in 2020 and put in 2 full months of work down there to work on his swing. And I know a lot of folks are very pleased with how far he's come offensively because he struggled in his pro debut out of high school. But he, right away from our first series, the speed of the game was not affecting him at all. He looked like he was locked in on high-velocity fastballs. He's got explosive movements, which, of course, was why he was taken in the first round. So he's got the look of a first-rounder. He's actually on the injured list right now because he had a concussion on a throw, just a freak base-running play while he was trying to score. He got hit with a throw in the head, but, you know, shouldn't be too long before he returns to our lineup. But when he's been in there, he's been really impressive. He's been going to all fields, and he definitely has that explosiveness in all phases of the game that you want from a first rounder.
Well, that's exciting to hear. I mean, you're right. That is kind of what you expect when you hear a guy taken in the first round. And it's funny, we joke about if you're taken in the first round, doesn't matter high school, college, you are very likely either a catcher, pitcher, or shortstop, and it doesn't always necessarily mean that that's going to be the position you play in the big leagues, but you're probably the best player on your team at every stop of the way. How is his defense as a shortstop, fairly young shortstop, but I'm curious in your early assessment.
Yeah, for his age, his defense is excellent. I don't see any reason why he can't stick at shortstop for the time being. He's well built. He's a taller guy. He's over 6 foot tall, but he's got all the movements. He's got a big time arm. So right now he's able to make, he's made a few errors, but he's able to make all of those difficult plays at shortstop as well. He's thrown a couple guys out from the outfield grass and shallow left. So he's got the arm for the position. I would say he has the range and the hands for the position too, but you know, as time goes on, he might gain a little more weight, a little more power, and maybe they want to slide him over, but for now he can definitely handle shortstop.
That's great. Another first round pick, Aaron Sabato's playing there. What do you know about him? He kind of breaks my rule about you have to be an up the middle position. He's a slugging first baseman.
Yeah, and he was a little later in the first round too. He got off to a really slow start with us. I know they kind of wanted to start him in high A with Cedar Rapids. They decided to keep him down with us just based on, you know, how he performed in spring training, and he started slow with us. But he's really picked it up now. So he's starting to get comfortable at this level. He was swinging through a lot of fastballs early on, which is not a good sign. But here in the month of June, his on-base percentage is over 400. So if you look at the raw numbers overall, they're not going to wow you. But the power's starting to come. He's got 3 home runs now, and he's always been able to control the strike zone. He's a very patient hitter by nature, and that's why he's able to get on base a lot and hit for some power. But our hitting coaches have talked about him getting more aggressive and attacking pitches early in the count. So if he's able to do that and impact those pitches, the power could really start to come.
That's great. Last question for you, John. Then thank you so much for taking the time. We got about 60 seconds here. I wanted to ask you about Louis Varland, 15th round choice, so not exactly as highly touted, but important to our listeners. He's out of Concordia St. Paul. What can you tell us about Louis?
Yeah, for you Minnesota folks, you can be really excited and proud of Louis Varland, not even a Division I guy. He's probably been our most impressive pitching prospect so far. He's 93-96, really sharp slider. And that's really all he has. He's mostly a two-pitch guy. He can sprinkle in some other stuff. But that fastball's in the mid-90s. The slider's a swing-and-miss pitch. So he's able to get a lot of strikeouts here early in the season. I think it's probably only a matter of time before he moves up. We had no top 30 prospects on our pitching staff, and I think he's emerged so far as probably the most impressive pitching prospect in that group. And then one other under-the-radar name on the offensive side, Jefferson Morales, has been really impressive early on. He's a catcher by nature, but is now our starting right fielder. He's got tons of athleticism. So Varland and Morales would kind of be the names off the radar to keep an eye on.
I love it. I love following the off-the-radar names. Guys who weren't taken in the first round or didn't have a huge signing bonus and they're just grinding their way in pro ball. Speaking of grinding their way, John, the play-by-play voice of the Fort Myers Mighty Muscle. He is John Vittis. John, thank you so much for joining us on Twins Today.
My pleasure, Derek. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Well, pleasure was all mine. We'll talk to you down the line. Follow him on Twitter, folks, if you want the Fort Myers updates. At JohnVittis3 is where you can find that. Great talking with him about some of the rule changes, including automatic ball strike that's happening in the low minors. Of course, they were going to test it in the low minors because if there was any brushback or complications, yeah, they probably don't want that affecting the guys who are knocking on the door at the show. But fascinating to hear from John. I got to say, I wasn't expecting that. I thought he was going to say, yeah, you know, it's kind of a sore subject and some people are really not sure how they're feeling about it. But he said, yeah, a lot of the players are indifferent and especially the hitters feel like it might be to their advantage a little bit. They're not getting strikes off the plate, pulled back in and called by the human umpire. Fascinating, fascinating insight from John. That wraps up a fascinating first hour of this show, but don't go anywhere. There is plenty more where that came from on Twins Today. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk with Twins legend and baseball Hall of Famer Rod Carew. 7 batting titles there. Later on in the show, we're getting 3 more batting titles sneaking in. We're going to talk to Joe Mauer about his upcoming home run hitting competition to raise funds for Gillette Children's Specialty Healthcare. Great to catch up with those two guys. And then Dan Hayes sandwich in there talking about the Minnesota Twins and St. Paul Saints rehabbing this week. A loaded second hour of Twins Today to start off your Twins programming here. This is Twins Today from Target Field. I'm Derek Wetmore. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO.
Welcome back to Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group. More than cars. Once again, live from Target Field, here is Derek Wetmore.
Welcome back to Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group, More Than Cars. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, and we'll get right into it. I'm very privileged to be joined today by a special guest, a man who has 3,000 hits in Major League Baseball. He is none other than Rod Carew. Rod, thanks for taking the time for us today.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, the pleasure is all mine, and we are fortunate enough to have you here in the Twin Cities. We're sitting up at Target Field. I understand you're in town for Swing for the Kids among some of your philanthropic efforts. How did that go this year?
Yeah, it's we're here. It was hot.
Yes.
You know, and after leaving California, you know, it was nice and cool and coming into Twin Cities and drinking water like crazy.
Yeah.
But it was a great event. A lot of people participated. And the guys were seeing how tough it is to hit. You know, everybody thinks that you're standing up there and a guy is throwing 100 miles an hour and it's easy. No, because that baseball moves all over the place. But it was fun, you know, fun and trying to give them a little tips on, you know, what to do. And so we had a great day.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And you now are actively involved with a lot of charities, and Rod, we'll get to that in a moment. But first, for Twins fans who are listening to this show, you yourself had a bit of a health scare a few years ago. How are you doing now?
Well, I'm doing better. You know, I had a heart transplant and kidney transplant, and it's doing better. You know, I've been doing PT 3 times a week, do about 3 hours just to get my body back into some kind of shape. But, you know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all the people that sent me letters and called just to see how I was doing. And a lot of people from Twin Cities, you know, because this was my home when I played, you know, with the Twins. And we heard from people all over the area, you know, Brainerd, Mankato, all over the place. So, you know, it's always good for me to come back because this is still my home. I still consider it, you know, my home.
And you've always got friends here. There's no doubt about that,
yeah.
Rod. You're also involved with Heart of 29 and does work with the American Heart Association and LLS, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. What motivates you to be so involved with these charitable organizations, Rod?
Well, you know, I lost my youngest daughter when she was 18 to leukemia. And she always told me, Dad, I need your help. Because, you know, I wasn't very friendly as far as the press went. And she says, I'd like you to break away from that where I don't want to talk to the press. And I want you to put your name on this so that we can help kids. You know, there have been so many kids that have gone through needing a marrow to survive. And they have all had dreams just like she had dreams. And so I promised her, you know, that as long as I'm on this earth, I'm going to do my best to try and help those kids that are going through this these different blood diseases to realize their dreams, you know, and because all of us has a dream. And my dream was to, you know, growing up in Panama at age 6 and listening to the games on Armed Forces Radio was to play in front of 40,000 people, you know. So I'm glad that I was able to do that. I'm glad that I'm helping to save other kids' lives. And thanks to my daughter, it's going to be a continuous effort on my behalf.
It's tremendous work that you do. So many are so grateful for that, Rod. Kind of transitioning off of that, too, you are recently on Twitter. I saw your account pop up, and it's very fun to see your name there. How did that idea get started that you're now Rod Crew in the flesh is on Twitter?
My son.
Okay.
My son took me out of the dark ages, and, you know, I asked him to be my agent, and he says, well, we're going to do things to, you know, to get you out there and meet people and still be a big part of baseball. And I think he's done a great job. So kudos to him, you know.
It's really fun to follow you on there. For anyone who's not following Rod and listening to this interview, it's at Rod Carew underscore 29. And I'm sure you're already following him if you're on there and listening to this interview. But for Twins fans who aren't, that's where you can find him. And I got to tell you, I laughed pretty hard at a tweet that you had recently. I don't know if you'll remember it, Rod, so I'll put you on the spot here a little bit.
Okay.
You had asked followers, fans, hey, ask me any questions. I've got some time here to take some questions. Somebody said, Rod, would you still hit 400 in today's game? Do you remember what you said to him?
Yeah. Well, I'm 75 now, so that I'll probably hit about 280, you yes. know. But, yeah, it was a great question, and we just had some fun with it.
Yeah, of course. Well, let me ask you, because today's game is a little bit different in the way that guys are – we either looking for contact or power, and they really don't mind striking out nearly as much as guys did in your day. Do you think a Rod Carew type hitter could be successful in this day and age with the way they play the game now, Rod?
Oh, definitely. You know, especially with the shift that they put on a lot of hitters. I am sick to see hitters just taking a call third strike, walking back to the dugout, which is the longest walk.
Oh, yeah.
And they consistently are doing that. You know, if you're going to be a home run hitter, be a home run hitter. If you're not going to be a home runner, doesn't have the talent to hit home runs, you know, use the whole field to hit. You have to learn to discipline yourself to understand what you can do and, you know, and stay within that discipline. When I first signed with the Twins, I was more of a power hitter, but I ran well. And they had asked me to, you know, get on base, set up a steal, score runs for Killebrew and Oliva and Allison and those guys.
Yeah.
So I had to discipline myself to use the left field foul line to the right field foul line. And that way I knew I was going to maintain my consistency every year when I played.
We had the privilege of having a good friend of yours on the show a couple of weeks ago. The great Tony Oliva sat in that chair and joined us on Twins Today. He had some fun stories, and one of the things that I asked Tony O, you know, we're talking about this same thing, the shift. Third baseman standing behind second base, and you got the whole left side of the infield. I wouldn't want to pitch to Tony O in that moment, you know?
No, but, you know, that's what you learn about yourself, what you can do.
Sure.
I learned from Tony because we were roommates for 12 years, and so we talked about hitting a lot. And he really helped me out as a young player growing up and being a part of the Twins organization. But there's so many young kids today that are trying to hit home runs that can't hit home runs. Mm-hmm. They might hit two or three.
Sure.
But they're taking a long walk back from home plate back to the dugout, dragging that bat.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're taking too many strikes down the middle. They're guessing. You know, and if you could guess what a pitcher's going to throw you, you know, you'd be okay. You will have some success. But to me, learning to pick the ball up and track the ball, see what the ball is doing, and then we have that instant that we have to react to it. Mm-hmm. That's what I did throughout my career.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I was lucky.
Can I ask you, lucky and good and a lot of hard work too.
Oh, thank you.
Can I ask you that the story I asked Tony about was when he, do you remember the first moment you met Rod Carew? And he kind of smiled because you guys are still big friends
right.
to this day.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, when I met Rodney, he was just a little baby. And that's, he took you up.
Yeah.
Do you remember the moment you first met the great Tony O?
Yeah, I was I was getting ready to graduate from high school. And the Twins were in town. And I used to play outside of Yankee Stadium. They had some fields there that I used to play in. And I always used to say to myself, one day I'm going to play in this stadium in a real game. Well, the Twins came in, and they invited me to work out with the club. Mm. And, you know, I was hitting balls in the seats and, you know, driving the ball rear wall. And then Sam Mealy told the hitting guy to get me out of the cage. They didn't want the Yankees to see me. So, but before that, when I walked in the clubhouse, I was a skinny kid. I was about 130 pounds.
Sure.
And they didn't have a uniform to fit me. So they gave me Tony's shirt because Tony was, you know, he wasn't a big guy back then either. And so when I went out onto the field, people were yelling, Tony Oliva, Mr. Oliva. And I'm saying, I'm not Tony. He's in the dugout, you know.
That's great.
So since that day, Tony and I became great friends. And when I came to the big leagues, he asked me if I wanted to room with him. And I was like, oh, are you kidding? You know, here's one of the great players at that time. And so we started to the year being roommates, and we roomed for about 12 years. We know everything about each other. And, you know, Tony, I speak Spanish and so does he. But I used to get a kick out of him laying in bed, and he had his machine with his English lessons. Yeah. And he would be reading, you know, while I was getting ready to go to sleep. And I've been through so many nights also with him with his knee.
Yeah.
You know, he had so many knee injuries. And he would lay in bed, and he'd moan, and I'd go get ice for him to put on him. But he went out there every day and played and never complained.
Unbelievable, that guy.
And he's still the same person today.
Yeah?
You know, he hasn't met someone he doesn't like. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's true to my experience, too. Let me ask you one final question, Rod, and thank you so much for being so generous with your time for us here today on Twins Today. Tony Oliva is not a Major League Hall of Famer as we sit here in this chair. There are some people who feel that he should be in Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame. Care to make a pitch for people for your good buddy to join you in Cooperstown?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, the Hall of Fame already knows that I'm supposed to be on the committee that Tony is on to get in. And we missed him by one vote the last time.
Yeah, 4 years ago, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this time I hope that we can get him in. You know, he played, what, 13, 14 years? But during that time, he had great years, you know, when he played. I honestly can say there are a couple guys in the Hall of Fame that shouldn't be there. This guy should be there. And so we're going to push for it. I'm going to talk to the Hall of Fame again to make sure that I'm on that list to try and push for Tony to get in.
Absolutely one of the best hitters of his generation, and we always wonder what would have happened if not for the pain in his knee.
Yep. He would have won more batting titles behind me.
Yeah.
You know, I always told him that. I says, Roomie, I'm going to surpass you in those batting titles, you know.
I'll keep my seven. You can have six, though. That's great. Rod, if, again, for Twins fans who aren't following him on Twitter, it's RodCarew_29. And be sure to check out Pediatric Cancer Research, LLS, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and the American Heart Association. Is there anywhere people can go, Rod, to learn more about either how they can get involved in those places or donate, anything that could help?
I think they can go on the internet and get some information. There's a place here in the Twin Cities, not too far from the ballpark, that has a lot to do with the work that I'm doing.
Okay.
And if they could hook up with those people, I think it would be great for them to be a part, save a life, and help a young child realize the dream that they have.
That's very well said, and people can follow you on the website as well, rodcarew.com, and there's always information and what you're up to and what's going on there. So, Rod, sincerely cannot thank you enough. We really appreciate you being generous with your time today.
Well, my pleasure. And I don't know if we talked about the book.
No, please.
The book came out in January. We're now in the paperback stages. And Reggie Jackson named the book One Tough Out.
Okay.
You know, and it tells a little bit about my past, talks a little bit about the baseball side of it, and also about my youngest daughter who died from leukemia. And also my heart operation transplant that I just went through. So it's a good book for a family to give to their kids and say, hey, read this. You might learn something from it.
Absolutely. Go find that One Tough Out in paperback now. Rod, thanks again for your time on Twins today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
That's the voice of Twins legend Rod Carew, Baseball Hall of Famer. More baseball coming up after this on Twins Today, driven by the Maurer Auto Group. More than cars. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Twins Today, Twins fans, driven by the Maurer Auto Group. More than cars. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, sitting out at sunny Target Field. It's getting a little more active as we move along with the show, getting set for Twins Astros first pitch. Before that, you'll hear Inside Twins with pitching coach Wes Johnson and Corey Provis. Then the Edina Realty pregame lineup card all leading up to first pitch. But I got a couple more segments for you on Twins Today. And we've got a fun slate of guests here this hour. Dan Hayes joins me now from The Athletic. We started the hour with Rod Carew, such a treat to hear from him. We're going to close the show with Joe Maurer to hear about the home run hitting competition. And the best guest of all joins me right now in the Target Field studio. Dan, thank you for joining Twins Today.
It's Hall of Famer hour, apparently.
It really is. You know, so there's Joe Maurer, there's Rod Carew, and there's you. Twins legends, all of them. But sincerely, thank you for joining me, Dan.
No problem.
tough billing to live up to, but you're the guy with the info. A couple of things I want to talk to you about, including some rehabbing Twins. I saw you went over to St. Paul this week. So we'll get to all that. I want to ask you about Byron Buxton, Kenta Maeda, Luis Arraez, Max Kepler, and I probably missed somebody that I want to start with topic A, because you and I haven't had a chance to talk about this yet, Dan. Sticky substances in Major League Baseball. Josh Donaldson was very vocal about it. Garrett Cole came to town. He was not so vocal about it, kind of stammered his way through an answer on that, and then pitched great against the Twins. I saw a piece from Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic this morning. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. Where do you think this is all going to come down as we talk about foreign substances in Major League Baseball?
Well, we're going to see a lot of pitchers drop off in their RPMs, in their spin. We already saw it. I think there was a report earlier in the week that 63% of all pitchers' spin rates had gone down in the 10 days or so since word has leaked out about the sticky substances being cracked down on. So, shocker. I mean, it's funny.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
I've heard a couple things, and I do believe that there is part of this is, look, we saw the Orioles recently and a lot of them, and their pitchers are significantly better. And some of those names and their strikeout totals jump off the chart at you because you've never heard of them, and they were probably in AAA. One thing that you have to account for with that, however, is a lot of front offices have brand new people on them, and there's a lot more information these days. You look at the White Sox, they switched pitching coaches after 30 years this year. Don Cooper's gone. Ethan Katz is in, and all of a sudden he has fresh ideas. And Carlos Rodon, who has all the talent, is throwing the ball better. Michael Kopech, same thing. Lucas Giolito basically came with – that was his high school coach.
Yeah.
Inventive guy, teaching his guys to throw a little bit better, throw differently, using different information. So there are natural progressions for teams like the Royals, for teams like the Tigers, for teams like the Orioles, the White Sox, who have changed things. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of trying to figure out where it is in between, because there's definitely a lot of use of the sticky substances. Gerrit Cole is a very big benefactor. I could see why Josh Donaldson mentioned him, but he did only casually mention him on the Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't like he went and pointed it out. He was like, this was the first guy that threw and went down. And he was talking about guys that significantly had gone down. It was like 125 RPMs of spin had been reduced. That's a lot. It's a huge deal. And but hey, by the way, Gerrit Cole, still pretty good.
Yeah, I would say so. He was highly touted with Pittsburgh. Of course, he had the talent. He goes to Houston, he blows up, he gets the big contract in New York. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see where this all plays out. But Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe this is just my anxious personality, but now this has been bubbling beneath the surface for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And now it's like, hey, this is all out in the open. Let's start talking about it. I get the sense that it's kind of a nervy moment for a number of big league players, just because you couldn't call somebody out. But, you know, how do you know your guy doesn't have something on his belt that he goes to for a big slider?
Rocco mentioned that you just don't know on who is doing it.
Okay.
And he's advising. He said he doesn't want anybody on his team doing it. He's come out with a strong stance
on
that.
We should be clear, too. I'll let you finish your point, but we should be clear. There's a difference between using rosin and sweat and maybe even a little sunscreen, just
yeah.
that you can feel your fingers are a little bit tacky, versus going to this stuff that I've heard compared to super glue that really just you can just rip the ball and,
right.
and get the best grip on it imaginable.
Absolutely. And there is a need for rosin or sunscreen because command and the ball is slick and you don't want guys getting hit. But that was Josh Donaldson's point of all of this is, look, this isn't about command because hit-by-pitches are up at an all-time
yeah.
high right now. Walks are on pace for an all-time high. So if these guys are gripping the ball for command purposes and they're hitting guys like that rate, yeah, right. It's about making the best pitch. And sliders have been just absurdly good the last couple of years.
Sure.
We've seen an increase in them because guys have – no fear that the ball is going to slip out of their hand. Ryan Pressly is a guy who, you know, you always used to see. He'd blow guys away with his 95-mile-per-hour fastball, get ahead 0-2, and then sometimes he'd hang a slider because he didn't have enough grip on it, and it gets hit out, and it's a mistake. Well, all of a sudden, you see guys throwing that slider with so supreme confidence, and it's definitely related to this. Strikeouts are up, and they're too high. Look, we know that baseball's okay with strikeouts.
Sure.
It's gotten out of hand even for baseball. Baseball's like, hey, this is too much. Let's dial it back.
Well, it's fascinating. I can't wait to see where it goes. It is kind of a nervy moment. Like for me, you know, we're talking about this thing. It feels kind of like a dirty secret. But Dan, this headset on your head, we're talking on live radio. So
yes.
There, you know, this is like a wide open conversation.
And I think guys just don't want it to be branded as cheaters for
right.
doing what the whole industry is doing.
That's right.
Because you look at steroids and the stigma. There's no question. I don't know that this is that, but it has become accepted in the same way where guys are just doing it.
Blind eye, you mean, from
right.
the enforcement.
And,
so.
And Trevor Bauer's been talking about it for years and trying to
Absolutely.
Stop it. So, yeah, it is funny that it's now just coming to a head 4 years after he brought it up in
yeah.
the first place.
Last one, we got to hit a break here, Dan. But your colleague at The Athletic, friend of the show, James Feegan, friend of Twins today, joined us when the White Sox were in town. The proposal I saw from White Sox closer Liam Hendricks. James actually tweeted this out, so I wanted to get your take on it. He said, yeah, this is a problem, but what we should have is like one substance, like
right.
a controlled substance. You got the rosin bag back there. What if you just had like, I don't know, the little, you know, in the NBA they have the double-sided tape that they peel
yeah.
off before the game and you stamp your sneakers on it to
yeah.
get a grip? What if all pitchers just had the same kind of thing? That sounded to me like a pretty eloquent solution.
Like they wheel a little cart out there and the pitcher
right,
just walks
right.
over.
Well, have it sponsored. I
carts
mean, they got enough
play.
Of that stuff anyway.
Carts and play.
Here you go.
You know, there should be some kind of solution without question because, again, the idea is in theory, the idea is to grip the ball better, to not hit guys, and we don't want that taking off because of this. You know, they're going to – the rosin – And pine tar, you know, it's funny. Pine tar was a big part of this early on.
Yeah.
Michael Pineda got in trouble 10 years ago for the pine tar on the neck.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah.
High-definition television got him on that one.
Yeah, and this is so much stickier than that, and it provides so much better of a grip. So maybe that's something that's pine tar based. Anything that, but there does need to be some kind of uniformity on the baseballs, because it varies from place to place how they feel, like how they're gripped. Some are in humidors, all that stuff. How they're treated pregame and rubbed up. There is certainly a lot to discuss here, and it's weird that baseball has to do it on the fly.
Yeah, for how much we care about stats and the sanctity of these records and stuff, and then they're just kind of
Mike Schilt just peeled that onion back, man.
Yeah,
when
he sure did.
Well, Joe West, I guess, probably did it.
Joe West started it. Schilt got a little hot under the collar, and then Josh Donaldson took the baton and
Josh
ran.
Donaldson just smacked it out of the park. Hey, well, let's go after Gerrit Cole.
Like he did against the Yankees then following that up. That's the voice of Dan Hayes. He covers the Minnesota Twins for The Athletic. You can subscribe there at theathletic.com and follow Dan on Twitter for all the latest Twins news and updates. Speaking of which, Dan, I'm going to ask you to stick around for another segment because the fans want to know, when's Byron Buxton coming back? When's Kenta Maeda coming back? All of these updates. Dan was over in St. Paul with an eye on the Saints this week. I'll ask him about that on the other side of this break. You are listening to Twins Today on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Twins Today. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, at Sunny Target Field, and my guest joins me for another segment. Dan Hayes covers the Twins for The Athletic, where you can subscribe and read all the in-depth Twins coverage that you could ever want. Dan, you went over to St. Paul, CHS Field, this week, a place that I love. I haven't been able to get over there yet this year, but been going for years. I'm rocking my Saints hat as we talk right now. Love to talk to you about a bunch of Saints players, but in the essence of time, let's talk about a bunch of temporary Saints players.
Yeah.
Number of guys working their way back from injury. It's part of the story of the season, unfortunately, for the Twins. How did Byron Buxton look in a Saints uniform? And more importantly, when can Twins fans expect to see him in a Twins uniform again?
First of all, if we talked about a bunch of Saints players, we'd be talking about the 2021 Twins right now because they're all here.
Sure. we could keep you all day, not just for the insight, but also for the jokes.
Yeah, exactly. Byron Buxton looked really good the other day. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how he feels about the running. I know he took off and he tripled the other night and really tested it out. Some of the highlights from Saturday looked like he was just sort of like getting through it. I want to see how he feels about the running. And that's something that Rocco Baldelli said that he still has to talk to him about. He played last night. He hasn't been in yet today. He and Luis Arraez are showing up today. Buxton's bat looks great. The home run power was immediate. I got there and homer to right. Then he homered to center, and then he flew out to center a third time and missed a third home run by 2 feet.
Wow.
Consecutive at-bats. And the funny part was, you know, the pitching, we've seen how many guys are here already, so they're down to double-A, and
sure,
guys are signing off the street kind of thing. The starting pitcher that night gave up 14 hits and 11 runs in 3 2/3, so Byron, by five innings, had been in the field for like 2 hours already. So
sure,
he fully got the test. Yeah, he did. And Toby Gardenhire afterwards was like, we wanted to give him 7 at first, and then we were like, you know, he's seen plenty after 5. He's already run around the bases and done all that. It's going to be interesting to see how he feels. This is a hip injury. It's something that's new to him. Mm. A lot of his injuries have been upper body, you know, wrists, concussions, stuff like that. The shoulder, this is the first really significant other. He had broke his toe, but that was a foul ball.
Yeah.
So you know how much he really cares about the lower body. It's his bread and butter, and it makes him elite. And so I think he's a guy who's really taking a look at this and making sure he's thorough. I mean, he doesn't want – this is extremely serious. We saw Luis Robert, similar injury. He's out for the season.
Yeah.
And Byron Buxton probably knows, can't push it too much. And we've seen it. He sped up. He was – it seemed like 2 weeks ago he was going to play for the Saints.
Yep.
They dialed it back.
Yep.
And he's being thorough with it. I completely understand that. And people want to know, especially on social media, why he's not been here already and why he's not playing with this team right now. If he's rehabbing in St. Paul, well, the reason why is because he can go in a low-pressure environment and test it out and not have to worry about making plays for his team to win.
Right.
And also
– which he would, by the way.
Oh, of course he would. He plays at 125%. And it's amazing. Right. It's amazing to watch. And he doesn't like to dial back, and so he can do it there in a more comfortable environment. And I want to see if he's ready, because it's a big leap.
GM Dan Gladden put him on the plane tonight to Seattle. Do you think that's?
Oh, he's on the plane.
Okay, so Buxton's going to Seattle. How about we'll go rapid fire through these couple, Dan. Luis Arraez rehabbing the shoulder. He just started, but he told us that he's pretty much ready to go. He's very close. Are we seeing Arraez on that plane too?
He is too. Yeah, super excited because he couldn't hit and he couldn't throw forever, and that was really concerning to him. And he said he was pretty down, but he is. He is back up again, and boy, do you know it when Luis Arraez is up. He's got one of the best personalities. You can tell he feels good.
Bubbly and bouncing around always. Kenta Maeda, I saw his name written in pen in Monday night starting for the Twins, so he must be ready to get activated here closely.
Yeah, and he threw 55 or 54 pitches in his last outing, so where he can go, how deep he can go, we'll see. I don't know that he'll be fully – they might be like, hey, 75, 80 pitches. It's only been a couple weeks. And he's still built up, but I'm sure they're not about to try and rush him out there and throw 100 pitches.
Sure, yeah. I mean, maybe Kid Glove's a first start or two or something like that. But it'd be good to see the old Kenta back.
They need him back. They need the old Kenta.
You aren't kidding about that, Dan Hayes. Last one for you. You sat in on Rocco Baldelli today. What's the latest on Max Kepler and when we could see him in a Twins uniform?
Max Kepler's starting to rehab today, I believe. Yeah. Okay. So Kepler, we talked to him on the field yesterday, and he said he had just run the bases. He was feeling good. That was the last step for him. They'd kept him from sprinting for a while because he seems like he's been progressing nicely all along, but they waited and waited. It's a hamstring injury.
Yeah,
tough. But he is in a good spot too. So St. Paul is getting made up for having all their players stolen from them over here. The Nick Gordons, you know, Rev Snyder, they've had like 8/10 of their team over here. They're getting this is like repaying them in one.
Right.
We're just because they're in the nice middle of a nice long homestand. I'm sure Max Kepler will be out there a few days.
Sweet.
Wouldn't be surprised if he joins the Twins in Texas.
That's great. That's half a big league ball club there joining the Saints and hopefully joining the Twins before too much longer. He's the man with the news and insights. He is Dan Hayes, covers the Twins for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Hayes MLB. Dan, sincerely, thank you for joining the show today.
Yeah, thank you. And, hey, thanks for putting me in the middle of, you know, you had a good build in there with Rod, and then you followed me up with Joe, so people were going to listen. So it's not like they could just bounce after Joe Mauer.
But you brought the news nuggets. It's called lineup protection, Dan. How does it feel to protect Rod Carew?
Oh, well, I mean, it's obvious why I'm doing it. It's clear. So driving in all the runs.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter. Dan Hayes MLB is where you can find that. We got to hit a break. This one is the Mauer Auto Group break. Of course, Twins Today is driven by the Mauer Auto Group more than cars. And for this one, we welcome in Jeremy from the Mauer Auto Group. They just had a big sale. Jeremy, how was that sale?
Yeah, the big sale was a huge success. Everything went wonderful except for the heat. Everything's back on the lots and all the inventory is available. You know, we sold a few at the auction to the public. That worked out well also. But there's a lot of fresh trade-ins and a lot of new vehicles. The new vehicles are coming in every day. The timing couldn't be better on this whole thing. And we have finally got the one website. It's up and running. And I really recommend to everybody that you check it out. But it's the MauerAutoGroup.com. You can check out and see what we've done for the food share, for what we've done for supporting veterans. The Operation Warm, highly recommend watch that one. The kids are just great. That's really where you need to go is MauerAutoGroup.com. We've got that website up. It looks spectacular. And then you can see what all we have available, whether it be a $2,000 to $3,000 used car that you need for your 16-year-old that's just learning how to drive, or whether it be the $80,000 one-ton high country that you need to get your jobs done every day. We've got you covered. North Metro to the South Metro, from the $2,000 to the $80,000. Everything you need, we've got it right there on that website.
MauerAutoGroup.com, as Jeremy mentioned, right there at the top. They mentioned their tagline, more than cars. Jeremy, what's coming up for people in June, the rest of the month?
The rest of the month is going to be all about the new car inventory. We have transports coming in, you know, multiple transports daily. We're finally getting this chip shortage we're getting over the hump on that. We've got new Colorados coming in. We've got new Silverados coming in. We've got Tahoes coming in. We've got Suburbans coming in. I mean, we've got one of the largest selections of everything that everybody wants. and it's all coming in. So that's really the best way to check it out. And June is going to be all about rebuilding the inventory so we can take care of you.
Nice. That website again is MauerAutoGroup.com. Jeremy always says you can go there to find the inventory, or it sounds like you can go take advantage of free air conditioning. Just go on over and see them.
100%. Come on in. We even have nice cold water too.
That's great. That is the voice of Jeremy from the Mauer Auto Group. Jeremy, thank you for your support. And thanks as always for coming on Twins Today.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too. Welcome back, Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group, More Than Cars. I'm your host, Derek Wetmore, and we'll get right into it, joined by a very special guest, three-time batting champ, six-time All-Star. He is none other than Joe Mauer. Joe, how's it going today?
Derek, I'm doing well. It's thanks for having me on. This will be great.
Yep, happy to do it. Before we get into it, Joe, how are the kids? A couple years since you stepped away from day-to-day with the Twins. How's everything going with the family?
They got me running around, which is great. Yeah, all good stuff. But yeah, we're definitely busy over here at the Mauer household.
Love it. Glad to hear it. You hear that you get busier in retirement. So it sounds like that might be true for you too, even stepping away from Major League Baseball. Joe, I'm honored to have you on the show. It's great to be talking with you. I want to get first out of the way what you have coming up, the Mauer and Friends Kids Classic Tuesday, June 15th. No doubt Twins fans have heard about it by now, but it's benefiting Gillette Children's Specialty Healthcare, and you can buy tickets right now. Joe, you've got a pretty special guest list for this, I understand.
We do. It's been a lot of work trying to get to this point. We're excited. We're less than a week away. Obviously, we kind of had to shift gears, what's been going on in our world these last 18 months or so, and trying to figure out ways to spread word about how special a place Gillette Children's is, and it's right in our backyard. And I've reached out, and actually this whole idea came about with a conversation with my buddy Justin Morneau. And, usually we would have an event inside, sit down, 300 people, have a lunch, talk about Gillette, and that was that. But through our conversation, a home run derby, a home run challenge has evolved, and everything will be outside. Everything will be safe. And we're allowed to spread the word to a greater group of people. We're allowed to open the gates at Target Field and following all the CDC guidelines and what they have in place right now. And I hope people come out and see. Like you said, we have a great lineup. Morneau, Tomei, Jason Kubel, Brian Dozier, Trevor Plouffe, Nick Punto's coming back. We've even allowed some of the pitchers to swing it. Joe Nathan's coming back, Glenn Perkins, Brian Dunsing, and we got a couple non-baseball players as well. Zach Parise of the Minnesota Wild, Chad Greenway, retired Viking, and Mark Parrish, a retired Wild player. So really excited about our group. And just amazed, humbled on the response I've been getting from not only the special guests who will be participating, but our sponsors and, just Twins fans in general. So, yeah, we're really excited. I can't wait for Tuesday to get here.
It's fantastic to hear the origin story because, of course, Justin Morneau came up with it. He probably just wanted to win another one.
I know. And that's the thing. You look at this lineup, you got, like you said, Morneau, who's won a home run derby. You got a guy who's hit over 600 home runs. And I don't know of two other guys other than Dozier and Plouffe have hit more home runs at Target Field. So I don't know what I'm getting myself into against these guys, but I can tell you my mentality at the plate will be a little different than when I played. So be fun.
You might go for it a little bit more, let her rip. So people can find twinsbaseball.com/Mauer Classic is where they can find all the details. Tickets range from $25 to $75. And as I mentioned, they are they're on sale now. And then they're on sale day of, too, if you just want to walk up. It's a beautiful day, Tuesday, June 15th. I believe I saw the ticket windows open from 9 until 2. So you can find all of that information online. Joe, that's going to be a ton of fun to watch. You mentioned you would take a little bit different approach. So I'm gonna dig in on that one real quick, Joe. Your approach at the plate, famous around Minnesota, of course, and obviously worked out quite well. The Twins all-time leader at getting on base. I was talking with Rod Carew, and he mentioned the shift changed the game just so much. He keeps up with the game and watch it. You can't really shift a guy like Rod Carew, but I guess I've never asked you this, Joe. What was it like for you as a player when all of a sudden that double on the left field line started to be an out? That had to have been pretty frustrating as a hitter that had used that approach to success for years and years.
Yeah, you know, the game, it's definitely evolved. And even in the 15 years that I had in the big leagues, just from my rookie year to when I retired, we saw those shifts become more prevalent. And you know, they're doing it because it works. You know, it's always – hitting has always been probably, in my opinion, the most difficult thing to do in sports. And it's not getting any easier for the hitters, you know, even in today's game. But, you know, it's the shift, there's a reason why they do it. And your teams have had success, and you know, that's the thing too. It's some teams do it better than others. You know, they'll put guys in different positions, but also have the pitch plan to go along with it. So, you know, a couple teams when I was playing, you know, Kansas City did it really well. And it seemed like they had a, you know, 12 or 13 guys out there in the field, but you know, that's the thing. Everybody's doing it different. And, you know, the game's evolving. We always call it a game of adjustments, and you got to try to adjust it to compete.
Seemed like they had 12 or 13 guys, and three of them were Alex Gordon out there.
Yeah. He definitely covered some ground out there, especially when I was hitting.
No kidding. All right, Joe, there's some talk, I don't know where it will go at the executive level in major leagues, but about limiting shift and bringing balls in play back into the game. Just quickly, your thoughts on that. Would you be in favor of limiting some of those defensive strategies?
I would. I think, you know, MLB is just constantly looking at how to enhance the game. I think we've gotten to a point where there's not a whole lot of balls in play, and I think that's what we need more of at this point. So however we can go about doing that and making the game more entertaining for its fans, and, you know, I think that's what they're trying to do. And you know, I know that they've implemented some rules over the past couple of years to try to do that, and some of them had worked, and some of them I don't think it worked so well. So I think they're constantly looking at that. You know, I was just actually talking with a couple of the, you know, guys that are in this derby of mine, and we were talking about the extra inning rule, and that's one in particular that I'm not a big fan of. I think it gives a huge advantage to the home team, and you know, to win a big league ball game, you just have to sacrifice bunt and hit a sacrifice fly, and you could win a game. So that's just one example of one I'm not the biggest fan of, but I think they have done some things over the years to help enhance the game. I just hope we get back to getting the ball in play and making, you know, pressure on the defense and, you know, watching guys run the bases. I think that's the most exciting part of it.
Yep. I'm there with you. I think that home runs are great. I also personally love strikeouts, but then if you sit there through a 3-hour game and like nothing ever happened, basically nobody ever put the ball in play, I think we're going to lose a lot of casual baseball fans. And that's absolutely not what I want for the future of baseball. Joe, one more for you and we'll let you go. I know you're a busy guy this week and this upcoming week with your home run derby coming up. The hot topic in baseball right now is sticky substances, pitchers using concoctions some guys used to say it's to get grip so they're not going to hit a guy accidentally. But now you're seeing guys use, I heard it compared to super glue. I don't know if that's actually true, but just really rip a slider or get that four seamer to ride at the top of the zone. What do you think, Joe, about this thing that's sort of been a secret around Major League Baseball for years and years, but now is really starting to come into the spotlight, and that is pitchers using substances to get a grip?
Yeah, I think it's been around the game forever. You know, pine tar, you know, rosin and sunscreen, obviously have been kind of the favorites in my early days and later. But I've talked to a couple of the current players, and I think their concern is that the pitchers are really perfecting this and introducing different substances where they can really gauge, you know, with RPMs and spin rates, that they can really gain an advantage. And I think that's the thing. I know there's rules in place that might be a little, you know, not as enforced as some others, but I think everybody just wants to get on the same playing field and, you know, wants to make it fair across the board. But, you know, for me as a hitter, I always would tell our pitchers or opposing pitchers, I want them to have a feel of the ball so that it doesn't go behind my ear or head or, you know, or anything like that. But when they're using it to, you know, I guess to enhance that performance, it makes it even more difficult for the hitters these days. But, you know, hopefully they can get a grasp on this and, you know, kind of come out with a plan and, you know, move forward.
Don't know where this will go, but would you want to see umpires like checking every half inning, go check the belt, check the cap?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess if they something a little out of the ordinary, yeah, absolutely. You know, you got rules and you need to enforce them. I mean, why have a rule if you're not going to enforce it? So, I hope, you know, it's clear cut. So both pitchers and hitters are on the same page. And like I said, let's move on to things to enhance the game and make it more fun and enjoyable for fans to watch.
Very well said, Joe. Good luck in your home run derby coming up. How do you like your chances?
I like them. I mean, it's definitely going to be a tough task or a tall task to do, but, you know, I'm excited. The guys are coming back and just responsive and getting to help benefit Gillette Children's and these guys are all for it. And obviously this is a great lineup of players, but it's a great lineup of human beings. And, you know, I appreciate them coming back and helping me spread the word about Gillette because, like I said, they're just fantastic people and it's a fantastic place. So hopefully we can be entertaining, put some in the seats. And one thing I do want to mention is that every ball that's hit, you get a chance for an autographed softball. So could be signed by Tomei, Dozier, or any of those guys that I mentioned. So come on out and see some of the guys, and we'll try to give you guys some souvenirs.
Tickets online at twinsbaseball.com/Mauer Classic, and all ticket proceeds are a direct donation to Gillette Children's Specialty Healthcare. Go get your tickets now. Joe, can't thank you enough for the time. Appreciate you coming on Twins today.
Derek, thanks for having me. Appreciate giving me this opportunity to spread the word.
Good luck, Joe.
Thanks.
Real treat there to talk to Joe Mauer about his upcoming event. Go check that out. Check out the website, twinsbaseball.com/Mauer Classic. That'll do it for Twins Today this week. Such a treat. Talking with Joe Mauer, Rod Carew, Tim Laudner, Dan Hayes, John Vittes. It's just been a really fun show for me. I hope it was for you, too. Inside Twins with Wes Johnson and Corey Provis is next, then the Edina Realty pregame lineup card. It's all coming up before Twins and Astros first pitch. Talk to you next week on Twins Today. This is News Talk 830 WCCO.
You have been listening to Twins Today, driven by the Mauer Auto Group. More than cars.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.